All right, open your Bible, if you will, please, the book of Exodus, chapter number 2. Exodus, chapter number 2. Find your place in the Word of God. And then when you find chapter number 2, that's followed by chapter 3. Then that's followed by chapter 4, and that's where I'm going to read. Exodus, chapter number 4, instead of chapter 2. Exodus, chapter number 4. Good to be here tonight in the service. I appreciate Brother Harden. Appreciate the message. Appreciate the Word of God. And I remember when there's a whole bunch of preaching like that going on in independent Baptist churches. I praise the Lord for it. Good to be back. Do pray for my wife. My wife has a lot of problems, including me. I'm the bigger one. And so, but you pray God to touch her and bless her. And our daughter Rachel is real bad too for now, 10 days or so. So pray for her. God knows the need, and He's on the throne. And so we try to pray for His will to be done. And I appreciate you praying for her. Many have asked about both of them tonight since I've been here. And again, it's good to be back. Good to see you. And so let's pray the Lord will help us and bless us, and God's will be done. Let's stand together, if you would, please, your Bible open. The book of Exodus, chapter number 4. Exodus, chapter number 4. And I, too, am not going to preach a whole lot of missions tonight. What I'm going to do is just obey the Lord. The pastor mentioned to me earlier to do that. I don't mean it wrong, but I was planning on doing that anyway. I know that to be the situation here. But I want to deal with a very vital issue tonight that does affect missions. It affects the church. It affects the future of the work of God. And I'm troubled about it. And I want you to really pray God will help me to help you, and God will help us all through the Word of God this evening. In Exodus chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible said, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Verse 2. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod." Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message for this evening from God's eternal word. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, tonight in the throne of grace, at the throne of grace and mercy, in Jesus' name, I bow before you in prayer. Lord, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, I want to thank you one more time. You let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me, dear Lord, by your grace. You called me to preach. You put me in the ministry. You have kept me there, Father, all these years. And, Lord, you've given me great joy and victory in knowing I'm serving you. Thank you, our Father, for the privilege to be back at Island Ford. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. And I thank you, Lord God, for the singing, the preaching, the praying, the fellowship, the wonderful meal that we've already enjoyed. Lord, we could truly leave now, and it's just been good to be in the Lord's house, in the Lord's presence tonight. Fathers, I come to the pulpit this evening, Lord. I believe I can say with all of my heart, I seek no fame. I seek no gain. But Lord, I want to magnify your name. I want to preach your word. I want to help your church. I want to honor Christ. I want you to be magnified through the preaching, the word of God this evening. Again, I ask you to help me to help your people. And for what you do, Father, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. Because I pray it in Jesus' name. For our sake I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. May be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, this evening. The message for tonight from the Word of God. How many of you got a Bible? Would you raise it up? I'm preaching from verse number 2 on what is that in thine hand. Amen. What have you got in your hand? Amen. What is that in thine hand? Now, I want to give a little introduction and get us going where I believe the Lord wants us to. I don't have to tell you we're in a mess, even in fundamental churches and circles of our day. And there's a lot of reasons why I could spend a lot of time there. But the devil has issued an order for an all-out attack upon God, God's church, God's word, and God's ways in the world today. Some time ago, I preached a series on what I'm dealing with tonight. It was just the first message, and I don't plan to preach any more of them. But the Bible said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Brother Harkness, I pondered and prayed and studied that. God, give me these four thoughts, and I really preached on three of them. But there's an all-out assault on the foundation of our faith, the Word of God. There is no other foundation of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's also an all-out attack on the foundation of our family, the home. God still ordains one man marry one woman, have children, and stay together until death do us part. Number three, there's a great attack on the foundation of our fellowship, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we've never saw the church under the assault of Satan as it is tonight. There's also in America, there's an attack upon our freedom, the Constitution of our nation. I'm not dealing with any of those except the first one tonight, but I want to preach on this subject. What is that in thine hand? And preach on the Word of God. Now, let me just say a couple of things to set our mind at ease tonight. Maybe to disturb our mind. I want you to know something. Not everybody that attends a church like this church is fully established on what that is in my hand tonight. And I stand amazed at the churches and preachers and people who have come from this King James Bible and turned to other versions or translation of the Word of God. And the majority of them are settled in their mind that there really is not much difference. Can I make a statement to you? Things that are different are not the same. If they're the same, why change? Amen. But I'm saying to you, the devil in his sneaking way. You see, again, I want to say, the Word of God is a foundation of our faith. Now, some of the modern translations have changed portions of the Scripture. Some of them have corrupted portions of Scripture. And some of them completely leave out portions of the Scripture. The big question is tonight, and I know where I'm at when I say this, and I know the people that I'm preaching to here in this congregation. Of course, there's a radio audience as well. But I want to ask you, as our brother Harden did about being a Christian today, what makes you think you've got a Bible? Why do you believe that's the Word of God?
Amen.
That's very easy, you know, to stop the pulpit and say, "Boy, I'm a King James man."
Yeah.
Why? Why? What are we talking about when we say that? Listen, the devil has done everything he can to destroy and discredit the Word of God. And here's a big question I started saying a moment ago. The big question that's bringing so much confusion among church people in our day is, do I have a Bible? Do I have an accurate copy of the Word of God? Can I really trust this King James 1611? I want to tell you something. If the devil can raise one question about the authenticity, the accuracy, the authority of this Bible, he can raise two. And I go far enough to say this. If there's one mistake in this Bible, who says there's not two? I remember years ago, when I was a boy back on the farm. We lived in the, not everybody at farm raised watermelons, and about everybody that didn't have them stole them. I got it on both of them. We raised them, and I stole a few too, to be honest with you. But one neighbor got tired of his watermelons being stolen, and you got to be a little old to pick up on this. But he took out some quinine and made a wick up into the vine just outside the watermelon, where it would draw that poison, that bitterness up in there. And he put a big sign up and said, "One watermelon in this row has got quinine in it." He thought, "Boy, I've got that whipped. He'd come by his watermelon field the next day and see what they'd done, and where he had one, they marked to it and put two. So now he can't any of them because he don't know where the other one is. But you'd be surprised at the people who the devil has inserted some poison in their mind to get them to wonder about this book that we call the Word of God. Now, I really plan to take my time a little bit slow, I mean, by that tonight. I want to just give you some things that I really feel like we need to understand. And you cannot write them all down and you will not comprehend them all. So maybe you can get the CD and listen to them again and again and again. But our Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, of course, translated the first time in 1611, then revised maybe four times. And we have the 1679, 1659. Say it. Anyway, that revision, whatever it is, that fourth revision we got, I want to come to my mind right now. But anyway, I want to say this. In the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries, there were basically two Bibles available for the people. Number one, there was a Bible that we know as the Catholic Bible, and it comes from the corrupted Vaticanus and Sinaiticus manuscripts. Number two, there was the King James Version of the Word of God, with the Old Testament coming from the majority of texts, and the New Testament coming from the Textus Receptus, our received text. Now, in those three centuries, there were basically just those two Bibles. You either had a King James, you had a Catholic Bible. Now, listen to what I'm saying. There still are just two lines of manuscript. The corrupted manuscript that we know as a Vaticanus or Sinaiticus, and the majority of texts, the Textus Receptus, that our King James English comes from, and the New Testament, and of course, from the majority text comes our Old Testament. Now, those two lines of manuscript are still what remains to this day. Now, I want you to hear me. Every modern translation of the Word of God, so-called, on the market today comes not from the received text that King James comes from, but comes from the Catholic Bible, the same manuscript. So if you're using any modern translation of the Bible, you're using the old manuscripts from which the Catholic Bible was printed years ago. Then we moved into the 18th century and they started this thing of what they were saying. Did you hear me say? I said they were saying is a better translation. A better translation began, according to their words, a better translation of Scripture. 1901, you got the American Standard Version. Corrupt manuscript. In 1952, you have the Revised Standard Version. Again, corrupt manuscript. In 1955, you had the NIV, the New International Version, again from the corrupted manuscripts. And then in 2005, Oxford Press printed the New English Translation, and again from the corrupt text. None of these coming from the same text that our King James Bible came from. Now, don't you hear me? Very important. Your Bible, whatever you carry, whatever you call your Bible, came from one of two manuscripts. Can I say what I want to say? The right one or the wrong one? The one that God honors, or the one that the printing presses have used to make money for their religious organizations? By the way, the King James has never been copyrighted. Amen. But I'm simply saying to you, there's a move to destroy this Bible that we have in our hand by the publication of all these others. So as a result of all of this, we find even our good church folks being drawn into an area of confusion and question, do I really have the Word of God or do I don't? Now let me just back off a minute and tell you what is so great about that? What's so wrong about that? Why is that so important? Watch me. The Word of God reveals the will of God. Brother Hyman, we have no other source on earth. Come on. To find the will of God. To know the will of God. But the Word of God. And if you've got a corrupt copy of the Scriptures, then the will of God that's manifest to you from that book you call your Bible will be corrupt as well. You see, the Bible gives to us the will of God. It gives to us the way to God. It talks to us about the work of God, the wisdom of God, the worship of God, the ways of God, the wrath of God. All of that is given. We know that by the Word of God. And if we've been led astray and deceived into which one is the Bible, we do not have clear understanding about any of these. Now, I'm going to lay aside the others for a little while. I'm going to deal with this King James Bible. What is that in your hand? Bible believers believe these four things about the Word of God. Number one, we do believe that the Word of God is inspired. Meaning, God breathed. Can I say it another way? Meaning God exhaled it.
That's right.
And we better inhale it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We not only believe that it's inspired, but second, we believe that the Word of God is inerrant.
Right.
Now you'll waste your time, and I don't want to allow you to waste my time. Don't come up to me trying to talk to me about errors in the Word of God. My wife and I were talking today. I started reading the Bible when I was 15 years old. I'm 74, so that's 59 years ago. I've read the Bible almost every day for 59 years. It looked like, Brother Plato, I'd have found some mistake. I mean, I'm not the smartest kid on the block, but I'm not the dumbest either, don't think. I'm simply saying to you, look like I... And not just me, forget me, but other great students of the Word of God through the years have preached till their dying day and stood on this King James Bible and found nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Inerrant! In fact, I like this, and it may sound a little cocky, I don't mean for it to be, but if you think there's a mistake in your King James Bible, the mistake is not between the covers of your Bible, it's between your eardrums. Somebody comes up to you and tells you, well, don't you know there's mistakes in your Bible? I'll tell you a good cure for that. Shake the Bible in the nose and say, show them to me.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, are you saying, I am saying there is not one, not one, not one incy, bincy, small, teeny, little mistake anywhere in the Word of God. It's true from beginning to end. It's true from cover to cover.
Amen.
You say, I don't believe that. You've got a problem.
Right.
Your foundation has been destroyed. It's not only inspired, it's inerrant. It is infallible. It will not fail.
Right.
One of the things I like about studying the Word of God, you're reading the Word of God and the Bible said, and it shall come to pass.
Yeah.
You just keep reading on, a few pages over, sometimes a few days, sometimes a few years, sometimes a decade, sometimes a century, sometimes, Brother Doug, a millennial goes by. And you run across a verse that says, and it came to pass. I am convinced when we stand in eternity, God will take the 66 books of this King James Bible for the English speaking people. And God will stamp it in the blood of Christ and say, and it came to pass as was spoken by the Word of God. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's W-O-R-D-S shall not pass away. Not only inspired, it's inerrant. It's infallible. It's indispensable. Men cannot destroy it. They've tried through the years. And God has preserved it. Now I want to come through two important things, and I want you to stay with me. I know I'm just teaching a lesson, Brother Shepherd, but I'm telling you, I'm burdened. We need to get this settled in our heart, what I'm dealing with tonight. And I'm including, and most of us in here would stand to this, if you know where you stand on the Word of God. We believe in what is called plenary verbal inspiration.
Yeah.
Now, what do I mean by those two words? Well, the word plenary, we get our word plenty. The word plenary literally means all or every. The word verbal means words. So we believe, go ahead and brand me where you want to, say what you want to, don't bother me, don't have time to fool with you. We believe every word in the Word of God is the Word of God. Through the years, I learned it as a young preacher, and I'm not blaming nobody. I still sometimes have a problem with saying, I'll say Paul said or Peter said. I don't have the word of Paul. I don't have the word of Peter. I have the word of God. Amen. We believe every word, and it is inspired. It's God breathed. What do you mean by that, preacher? 2 Timothy 2:3-16. The Bible said, all scripture. That's from Genesis 1:1, the last word in Revelation. All scripture is given. How? By inspiration of God.
Amen.
God breathed. Amen. Let me give you the verse in 2 Peter 1:21. The Bible said, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, as they were carried along, as they were guided by the Holy Ghost. I'd like to be able to say something better than what I'm fixing to say, but since I can't say anything better, I'm going to say what I'm fixing to say. I believe that those men that were writing down the Word of God, Brother Shepherd, I believe the Holy Ghost possessed mind and muscle.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And for natural illustration, Brother Harden, I think they were just like typewriters in the hand of a typist. You a typist? It's not the typewriter's word, it's the typist's word. God put in their thought life. God used their hand to write it down. And by the way, it was not the men inspired, it was the words they were writing down. Inspired! Inerrant! Infallible, indispensable. And we find that it's given by inspiration of God. And then the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 30, let me read verse 5 and 6. Listen to it carefully. The Bible said every word of God is pure.
Amen.
Now either we believe that or we don't believe it. And then the Bible said, He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Listen to verse number 6. Add thou not unto His, W-O-R-D-S, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Every word of the Word of God is God's Word.
Amen.
Pure Word. Now, I want you to do this. I want you to turn your Bible to Psalm chapter number 12 for just a moment. I want you to see this. I wasn't going to turn. But I want you to see this. I know most of you know this, but you younger Christians especially, and you younger preachers, get a hold of what I'm saying tonight. Psalms chapter number 112. I'm interested in verse number 6 and verse number 7. Psalm 112 and verse number Psalm number 12, if I said 112. Psalm chapter number 12. I'll be there in just a moment. Psalm chapter number 12. I know what it says, but I want you to get it and I want to read it with you. Psalm chapter 12, verse number 6. The Bible said the words. Now look at me just a moment. It don't say the word of God. Speaking of the complete Bible, the W-O-R-D-S.
Amen.
The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. Look at verse number 7. The Bible said, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever.
Amen.
Now, watch me just a moment. We not only have an inspired Word of God, divinely inspired, but we have a divinely preserved
Sure. Amen.
Word of God.
Amen.
I believe, preacher, the thing for me to say is I held in my hand a preserved copy of the divinely inspired Word of God. I can say to you, I appreciate anything anybody does to preserve this Bible. But I'm telling you, God didn't leave it up to fallible man to preserve it. God assigned himself, thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt keep them, and thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Look at that word again. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. You didn't say for this generation. From this generation. Every generation has had those who wanted to destroy God's Word. And we have a pure Word of God this evening, not because of human effort, but because a commitment that God made to Himself that God would preserve His Word from this generation forever and ever. And you could go on and on. Both the Old Testament and New Testament have many references that refer to the Word. Let me jump to the New Testament and just show you two or three. The Bible said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away. But he did not say, but my verses will not pass away. He did not say, but my chapter will not pass away. But my W-O-R-D-S, words, shall not pass away. And he said again in John 8:47, he that is of God, hear of God's W-O-R-D-S. And he said again in John 15:7, if you abide in me, my W-O-R-D-S abide in you. And only know, he goes, he's speaking of every word of God is both inspired and preserved by God himself. That's why we call it God's Word. God's Word. But I'm going to throw this out quickly. And I don't know, Brother Shepherd, I don't know. You may know, some of the other men may know. I don't know anywhere that these things I'm fixing to mention are in print. I'm sure they are, but I don't know where they're at. They ought to be in print. But there are a lot of codes, are you listening to me? Through this King James Bible, that all the new versions either dilute or destroy completely. Watch me just a moment. For example, in this King James Bible, there is a color code. If you've been studying the Word of God long, you know colors mean things in the Word of God. They're changed in many. You can stretch some of these. You can use them different ways. I'm going to just give you what I've got down here quickly. But, for example, when you study the Word of God, you see white, the color white, it speaks of purity. The word purple speaks of royalty. The word red speaks of sacrifice. The word scarlet speaks of sin. The word green, the color green, speaks of eternal life. Blue speaks of heavenly. And black speaks of sin or spiritual darkness. Through the Word of God, when you run across one of them colors, it says something. There's an underlying message in those color codes. Number two, look at this. There is a mineral and material code through the Word of God. When you read the Scripture and you find silver, silver in the Bible speaks of redemption. Brother Hall, I found it amazing. There is no silver mentioned in the New Jerusalem. There's no need of redemption up there. Amen. Then the word gold speaks of deity. By the way, watch this, and I think this is good to know, young people especially. Oftentimes reading about the tabernacle, you find wood overlaid with gold. Wood speaks of the humanity of Christ, and the gold overlaid it speaks of the deity of Christ. Brother Lawson, here's what I like. You never find gold overlaid with wood. The humanity of Christ never superseded the deity of Christ. The deity of Christ always superseded His humanity. When you look at the Bible, brass speaks of the judgment. You find that many times in the Scripture. You look in the Word of God and pearl speaks of unity. Wood speaks of the flesh. Oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. Still water speaks of the Word of God. Moving water speaks of the Spirit of God. And a well speaks of the Bible. All these things in the Word of God have an underlying message that none of the other versions carry for us. In the Word of God, and again I caution you, you can run Bible numerics into the ground. I don't mean to get in trouble by saying that. But in a general concept, I want to give you these first nine and just give you a point, and I want to move on. Number one, in the Bible, speaks of God. Number two is division. Number three is manifestation. Number four is the universe. Number five is grace. Number six is man's number. Number seven is God's number. Number eight is a new beginning. Number nine is a number fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want to show you something. This blessed my soul, and I hope you'll enjoy it. But a shepherd, Paul, writes nine epistles to the church. Nine letters, seven churches. And by the way, that's what God had to say to the church. Paul was the apostle to the Gentile church. Very plainly stated. But look at this. And they're not in the Bible in the order that Paul wrote them down. First book in our Bible is Romans. What is Romans? It's the book of God. God! Salvation in the Lord. Number two is the book of 1 Corinthians. That's the book of division. Can I get an amen there? Number three is the book of 2 Corinthians. That's a manifestation. And 2 Corinthians manifests God's grace sufficient for every division found in 1 Corinthians. Galatians deal with the universal problem of adding to the grace of God. I marvel at just, can I say, it just so happened. You know it didn't just so happen. The number five is the number of grace, and it's in the fifth book, the book of Ephesians, where the Bible said, for by grace are you saved.
Amen.
The number six is the number of man, and the Philippians give us man's part in putting to action the victory that God gives to us.
Amen.
In Philippians. Chapter number seven. The number seven is completeness. And it just so is that it's in Colossians, the seventh book, where the Bible said, and you're complete in Him.
Amen.
I guess you think, oh, that's coincidence. Number eight's the number new beginning. And in our King James Bible, the eighth book that Paul wrote to the church is the book of the rapture. You think it's coincidence, huh? Number nine, the number of the fruit of the Spirit. And with number nine, book of 2 Thessalonians, Paul laid down the pen. The fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 9, verse number 22 and 23, there are nine fruit called the fruit of the Spirit. Paul, as I said earlier, wrote nine epistles to the church. Can I go to a step farther? I hope I'm not boring you. Has your Bible got Holy Bible on the back of it? Count the letters in Holy Bible. I know I'm going too far, but count the letters in it. Amen. Am I going too far? Let me tell you something else. Take the words King James. Look at this. Add them together. 1 plus 6 is 7, plus 1 is 8, plus 1 is 9. 16, 11. Added together is 9. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. That's your problem. I don't have a better problem believing it. Amen? It's just there. Now look at this. In our King James Bible, you still got your Bible open to Psalms. Turn to Psalm 118. In our King James Bible, I'm talking about, this is a miraculous book. It's a miracle book. Man could not have wrote it if he would have. He would not have wrote it if he could have. There's two Testaments, the Old and New. There's 66 books. Has 1,189 chapters, 31,163 verses, and 773,962 words. I'm told I didn't count them all. The middle verse of this King James Bible is Psalm 118, verse number 8. They tell us, again, I've not counted all of them. I'm taking what many other men have written before me. Look at verse number 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now look at me just a moment. If you look at that verse of Scripture, it has 14 words. Now if you've got 14, you can't have one single middle word, so you've got to have two single middle words. You count over six words, it is better to trust in. The two middle words of this King James Bible is the Lord. Accident, I guess, Brother Hardin, just so happened. I think it's pretty balanced. King James got the Lord right in the middle of it. Amen. 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 I like it. I like it. I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, in Isaiah, there are 66 chapters. In the Bible, there's 66 books. There is a division between the 39th book and the 40th book. We call the Old and the New Testament, rightly so. In Isaiah, there's a division between the 39th chapter and the 40th chapter. In Genesis, God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Isaiah, one said, hear, O heaven, and hear, O earth. In the 40th book, Isaiah, in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, you read something where the Bible said, make straight the pathway of the Lord.
Amen.
You read that in Matthew as well. You see what I'm saying? Parallel, 66 books. Last chapter 39 the last chapter number 66 in the book of Isaiah talks about new heaven, new earth. Last book of the Bible talks about new heaven, new earth. I'm just simply saying to you, this is a miraculous book. And man, if it could have wrote it, would not have wrote it. But I'm simply saying to you, and in that division, 39 chapters looks forward to the kingdom, 27 look back on it. In the Bible, 39 books look forward to coming to Christ, and then 27 look back on it. And on, you could just keep going in this contrast of the Word of God. I'm simply saying to you, this is a miraculous book.
Amen.
If man could have written it, he wouldn't have.
Right.
If he would have, he couldn't have. Now, I've done a poor job covering this, but let me say this and I'm going to close. In your hand, you have the Word of God, or you don't have the Word of God. If you've got a 1611 King James Bible, I know what you got. But me knowing it, it's not going to help you. You've got to get it settled in your heart.
That's right.
I'm aware of the fact, preacher, and these missionaries, some will go where they do not have English-speaking people. I know that. I know that. I know that. But I'm speaking to we here tonight who do have this English Bible and English-speaking people. We need to know it's not just another book.
Amen.
It's not just another copy. You say, Brother Blue, are you sure you think God could preserve the Scripture? I want to say this. I mentioned a while ago, I want to keep them perfect. You know, Jude speaks about we're called and preserved as saints. If God can't preserve Scriptures, we're foolish to trust Him to preserve saints.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Yeah. Amen? I'm saved, Brother Hardin, by grace, but I'm kept by the power of God. I'm preserved by the power of God.
Amen.
I have in my hand tonight a preserved copy of a divinely inspired Word of God.
Amen.
I said again, and I promise you I'm closing. If you don't get that nailed down, some vast talking, slick speaking guy will come by and sweep you off of your feet.
Right. Yeah.
We don't judge any other man's, we don't judge this Bible by any other man's writing, but we judge other men's writing by thus saith the word
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
Read it to be wise. Believe it to be saved. Practice it to be holy. Spread it that others might be saved
Amen.
By the grace
Amen.
Of God.
Yesterday,
Pastor, as I was meditating upon the service tonight and praying about it, God just strongly brought this to my mind to preach tonight. And I don't know why, but I've tried to be obedient tonight.
Amen.
It may be some of you right here in this building. We all need to remind this every once in a while. It may be somebody listening by the radio, by the internet. Either you have the Word of God or you don't have it. If you build upon the wrong foundation, your faith will crumble. You'll wind up lost without God, without hope in the world. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Come on, sisters of the music, ladies, Brother Doug, come on. Please learn the truth. Study it for yourself. Don't just take some other man's word. It's awful easy for us to say because everybody else says it, you know, in our crowd. Boy, I'm a King James Bible believing Baptist. But we need to know something about what we're talking about. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you'll get saved by hearing this message of God's Word. Come to Him. You reject Him, reject His Word, you'll be rejected of Him. One day after a while. Father, honor the Word, use it to Your glory. I pray, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What were we saying, Brother Doug?
157.
157. If we sing together, the altar's open. If you need to come, be obedient to God.